Every 3 years, we listen to chapter 6 of John's Gospel for 5 consecutive weeks. And the 6th chapter of John's Gospel is very important to us because it lays the foundation for our belief in the Eucharist. The Catholic Church, as well as the Eastern Orthodox churches, it's always believed that bread and wine change into the body and blood of Jesus during Mass. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel, it lays the foundation for this claim. And we should acknowledge that this is admittedly a very odd teaching of our church. It seems very odd that Jesus would transform bread and wine into his flesh and blood and then command us to eat it and to drink it. And people reject this teaching often because it is strange. I have friends who reject this teaching simply because it seems very odd to them. And yet in John chapter 6, we see Jesus himself teach this very clearly. We also, of course, if we look at the writings of the early Christians right after Scripture, we see that they had this faith in the Eucharist as well. Last week, we heard the story of an event that happened just before the gospel reading that we heard today. All right? In fact, it happened in real time a day earlier than this conversation that Jesus has. Jesus, you'll recall, he multiplied 5 loaves of bread in order to feed a very large crowd of people. And after he did that, he went over to the other side of the sea. He crossed the Sea of Galilee, and the people chased him down. They followed him all the way across the sea. It says very clearly, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. But when they get there, Jesus doesn't seem very impressed. He says, I know why you're looking for me. You're looking for me not because you saw the signs that I was doing. It isn't because you think I'm the Son of God and that you want to get to know me and that I have some important things to teach you. You're chasing after me because you had your fill of the bread that I gave you. It's because I tended to your physical needs. Now let's stop there, because people today are no different than the people that Jesus is talking to. We often, just like this crowd of people, like to remain close to Jesus in case we need something, in case we experience financial troubles or ourselves or somebody we know has some terrible illness, or if we want success in some endeavor. All right? We want to be close to the Lord in case we need something. All right? It's the way we relate to the church as well. We like to come to church to have our needs met. And if the church can't fulfill a worldly need of some kind, then often people leave very frustrated. Well, this is the reality of Christianity in the present moment. And it's important that we confront this. And our Catholic faith gives us a very good way to confront this. Before I say that, it's no secret why people attend a church that they attend. All right, this isn't just amongst Catholics, it includes Christianity in general, non-Catholic people as well. When they fill out surveys explaining why they attend the church that they attend, they will often say that it's because they're looking for friendships. They attend a particular church because it's filled with people their age, attractive people, especially if they're a single person looking for a relationship. They'll choose a church that where they think they can have that. People also select a church because the music is their kind of music that they prefer. They select a church based on some worldly thing. Some even, not so much in the Catholic Church, but some will even select a church based on the coffee that they serve. Which church has the best coffee? And of course, you know, there are churches right here in Longview who will advertise their weekly coffee special to try and get people to come to church. And so often the church, it's not just any one denomination, so often we're caught trying to meet people's worldly needs. Well, again, this is why our faith is so important, because what is it that we give to people? Well, if we're only thinking about what our senses can perceive, what we give out at Mass is a small sip of wine and a small piece of bread. In terms of our worldly needs, in terms of our physical needs, bodily needs, we're not giving people much at all. But if we believe what our faith tries to teach us, if we believe that the Eucharist is really Jesus' own body and blood, then the Eucharist is everything. This is the best reason for us to be Catholic. And if you're ever surveyed as to why you are Catholic, the Eucharist should be your number one answer. Because if we understand the Eucharist with the eyes of our faith, then it brings us intimacy with Jesus. In this way, the Eucharist is the solution to Jesus' problem in the Gospel. Remember, in the Gospel, people are looking for Him. He wants the people to know Him, and He wants to know the people. And yet they're preoccupied with these worldly, bodily concerns. The Eucharist forces us to look beyond our senses and focus on heavenly things. If we believe in the Eucharist, it forces us to look beyond immediate desires and confront the fact that we all have desires deep down that cannot be met by any material thing. If we have the Eucharist, we don't need fancy coffee drinks in our church. If we have the Eucharist, and if we really believe in what it is, it's okay if most of the people in our church are outside of our age demographic. And if we have the Eucharist, it's okay if people around us aren't always perfect. It's okay if the people around us are perhaps a little strange from time to time. In the first reading, we see the Israelites. They've been set free from slavery. And it uses the word to describe their thoughts towards Moses, their leader. It says that they were grumbling. They were grumbling against Moses. How could you take us all the way out into this desert? We were better off as slaves because at least we had food to eat. Okay, again, people are grumbling if their worldly needs aren't met. And what we see in the church is as faith in the Eucharist increases, some of that grumbling stops. Okay, because people grumble. They grumble about so many things. I hear it. Father, why don't you do this? Father, why don't you do this? And our staff hears it too, okay? Why isn't the church more like this? Why isn't the church doing this? Why? Again, if we really believe in the Eucharist, some of those concerns start to not feel as much of a big deal because we're already receiving what we need for those deep desires within us. And so it's my hope as we start to hear from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, we'll have three more weeks of it, that you open yourself up to conversion, to greater understanding of the Eucharist. When I was in college, I opened myself up to this teaching. I began to pray in front of the Eucharist. In fact, I participated in Eucharistic adoration during the season of Lent. I decided I was going to pray for an hour with the Blessed Sacrament every day during Lent. And as some of you know, that was a very transformative time for me. And again, deeper desires I had in my life began to surface. Other preoccupations that I had, other worries about finding worldly success, they started to sort of decline. What really sort of rose up in me was a desire to serve the church. Again, that comes from the Eucharist. And so, again, it is my hope that as our Eucharistic faith grows, as our faith in the Eucharist grows as a parish, that we will even more be able to commit ourselves to the teachings of Jesus, and that we will even more be able to dedicate ourselves to building up His holy kingdom here in Longview.